enormous time warp, you see, as we discussed so many times earlier. So that is the basic definition that we covered this lesson in 11 and 12. In general terms, Jiva Goswami is already established Parinambada based on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, and how Srimad Bhagavatam does not support this Mayavadi notion that this material world is just an illusory perception. Nor is an effect, of course. Cause, the supreme cause is Paramatma, an effect in this material world. And the basic, basically, when the cause is transformed into effect, one would expect there is a modification of the cause itself also. A good example is this milk transformed into yogurt, you know. So because of that, according to Mayavadi philosophy, one would imagine that Brahman, which is the supreme reality, also would be changed. Of course, that's nobody likes to believe that. That's against both by the Mayavadis as well as by the Vaishnavas. So then they actually proposed that then material world, this universe, must be an illusion, Maya, you know, because of that. And Brahman comes under the upadhi, or the superimposed, because of Maya, you know, because of the close proximity. And that's why Maya's avidya potency. And that, of course, is refuted by Vaishnava philosophy, the Shakti Parinam Vada. So, in today's class, we are going to discuss in great details, you know, what many steps, how systematically, by the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and Vishnu Purana, Srila Jiva Goswami actually refutes the Mayavadi notion, as well as some other philosophies like Shavadi and so on like that. Mimamsavadis, they are in a kind of a different set of situation. They believe karma, and their proponent is, of course, Jaimini Rishi. You know, Mimamsavadis, they believe that karma and its results are the eternal, you know, because, and then they quote his Vedas. Of course, we will know, we will learn, according to Jiva Goswami, that they are misinterpreting the Vedas, the Vedic injunctions. They think that the pious is eternal, contains heavenly planets. You know. But the concept of eternality, eternal means just extremely long, because our day, one day is equal to one day of the demigods, the heavenly planets, is equal to 6 months of earthly time period. So then it's pretty long period, long time. So that's why it seems like eternal, but it is ultimately, we know that even heavenly planets are also destroyed, you know, during dissolution of the universe. So nothing is eternal in that sense, you know. But we will talk about it. So, in the last week, lessons 13 and 14, text 61 to 69, we also heard that everything is not Paramatma, which is the cause, both the Upadana and the Nimitta causes of this universe. You know? So, in one sense, universe is non-different from Paramatma, yet Paramatma is different, you know. So that is what we heard last week. So today, this lesson Parinam Vada versus Thank you. alluded to it a little while earlier, when the cause is transformed into effect, one would have to assume that the cause also must undergo. According to Shakti Parinamvada, he explains that the Paramatma do not undergo such modifications, no change in the essential identity of the Swarup Lakshana. The Paramatma's external potency, Maya, that is what being transformed, being changed into that, you know. And that's how the universe comes into existence. So that is the fundamental difference between the Shakti Parinamvada and Vivartavada. And I had a quiz question on that, that is right there. So what is the fundamental difference is that universe according to Vivartavada is just an illusory perception, whereas the according to Shakti Parinamvada is actually the modification of by the Paramatma of the primordial material nature Pradhana, and Paramatma does not undergo any kind of modification in terms of its basic swarupa, primary characteristics. Only external Maya potency Pradhana gets modified. Okay, so then we are talking about Sat and Asat. Sat means real. Because Vivartavada's proponents, they say this material world is just illusion, Maya, you know. So that is asata, you know, unreal. Whereas Shakti Parinamvada, they said no, it is not mithya or not illusion perception, it's a reality. But it is temporary. It manifests and unmanifests. So that is the real difference between the two philosophies, you know. And according to Satkaryavada, that also we discussed quite a bit in the last two classes actually. Satkaryavada, the cause and effect, interrelationship with that. The effect is actually, in reality, it's not different from its cause. However, the cause does not necessarily have to same as effect. So here, the effect itself, so what we are learning today, something little bit in that Satkaryavada definition, that the effect already lies within the cause in a subtle form or a dormant form or a potential form, you know. So Shakti Parinamvada indeed do accommodate Satkaryavada notion that is based on the Srimad Bhagavatam authority, whereas the Vivartavada do not fall into that, you know. But they say that cause must undergo transformation, and Brahman cannot undergo transformation. They also accept that. And that is why they, so they conclude, so the universe must be just a perception of Maya. So there is no reality in the universal production, in manifestation. That's why they are forced to act notion, you know, because they cannot explain that, you know. Here Jiva Goswami explains that Shakti Parinamvada do explain that the cause, Paramatma being the both the Nimitta and Upadana cause, do not undergo any kind of such modification. What modifies, what transformation takes place is actually the material nature, Pradhana, that undergoes modification. So you see there is a this different, so I am repeating myself so that all of you, you know, understand with crystal clear, you know, the fundamental difference between these two philosophies. So now we will go in more details. So just remember it is this much, you know. So Paramatma remains free from the defects of Keshan. The universe has a lot of modification defects, you know. So while still being both the Nimitta and the constituent cause is Upadana. Nimitta is the instrumental cause that we learned in the very first introductory class, lesson 10 of this third theme. these are the important points. I want all of you to become really very, very clear. There should not be any kind of doubts about that. What are the doubts that will become even further clear after this class? However, there is one problem here, even with Shakti Parinambada. Technically speaking, universe cannot be fundamentally real. Why? Because anything that has been fundamentally real, it has to be always in respect to the three phases of time, past, present and future. And we know that the universe manifest and unmanifest. So technically speaking, it cannot... So technically speaking, fundamentally, universe cannot be real in that sense, even though exists real according to that, temporary. However, according to three phases of time, past, present, future, it does not exist in all three phases. So how to explain that? So here Jiva Goswami is explaining that very nicely, and listen very carefully. So that has to do with the existence of the universe, because we know that universe manifest and unmanifest, and the word Sat and Asat, the definition in reference to its existence of the universe, you know, it applied to one and the same subject or object signifies a real but changing object, you know. The changing object is this universe, where the causes remain the same. Therefore, universe is sometimes called Sat and sometimes called Asat, you know. And that's why Srila Jiva Goswami actually quotes a very important verse from Chandogya Upanishad, you know, that's a Shruti, you know, that says Sat, very from the very beginning in the past, Sat that existed. So prior to its creation of the material universe, and this pronoun idam means this signifies this material universe. So material universe existed as reality alone, Sat, in all phases. Why? Because when the universe is dissolved, right, during dissolution, when universe is not there, but nonetheless, it exists, actually it is enfolded within Paramatma itself, Mahavishnu, in a dormant form. So Paramatma being Sat, real, and because universe is part of Paramatma in an unmanifest form, so that way this universe is also considered real in that sense. So in that regard, Jiva Goswami is explaining by quoting this Chandogya Upanishad. You know. So I hope everybody understood that. Because even during dissolution, when universe is not manifest, but nonetheless, it does exist in a dormant form in the body of Mahavishnu, which Mahavishnu is, of course, is the superstar of the entire, all the cosmic manifestation, you know. So, and Paramatma being the real, so that way universe is also considered Sat, real, you know. So, that is the way Jiva Goswami is explaining by this. Citing Chandogya Upanishad, the authority of Pruthi. So universe is in a subtle form as the energy of Paramatma, sometimes called Brahman also, because in the state of mutual oneness. So the pronoun idam refers to this. This means this universe. Okay? So it is equated with Sat, which alone existed. The past, asit, the word pa, past tense is asin. That it was like that. It had. But the universe was not yet manifest. But it existed in the dormant form within the body of Paramatma, or it's enfolded within him. This was because, so effect is in a dormant form, is already there, part of effect. Effect is Paramatma. Actually, cause is Paramatma. So the effect, this universe, is indeed present in a subtle way, subtle form, within the cause itself. Cause is Paramatma. Okay? And that is the principle of Satyavada. You know? That's what they say. Okay? So, I hope that's clear. So, I'm going a little bit slower when there are important concepts that we are talking about, so that it becomes registered in your consciousness, internally registered. You know? Because the subsequent arguments that we are going to hear, arguments and counter-arguments, Vedas personified anticipate the potential arguments and counter-arguments, and covers in that key verse that we are going to discuss about it. Alright. Okay, so this is their verse. Very, very important verse. Each and every word is extremely important. So we are going to go one by one. And then I put it also in a capillary form, summarize those arguments. How Vedas personified defends that. And that is what explained by Srila Jiva Goswami. So what are the possible objections, possible doubts? There are two. The universe, when you say about the sat and asat point of view, okay, reality versus unreality. So the universe is changing reality. This is manifest and unmanifest. Unlike its source, unlike its cause, which is Parma. And the second point, that's what Shakti Pranamvada says, that, you know, it manifests, non-manifest. So then, why would this not support the theory of Vivartavada? That's what they're saying. And the analogy they quote is this illusory appearance of silver in an oyster shell. Now you must notice this oyster shell, you know. In the shell, the you see it's a silvery appearance there. So it's exactly like silver, but clearly it is not silver, you know. In terms of chemical composition, all the thing, it's not silver, it's just an illusory appearance. So that is the one what is quoted by Vivartavada, that must be, this universe also must be like that. It's a kind of illusory perception because of the upadhi upon Brahman, you know. So here Jiva Goswami is quoting this particular verse spoken by the Vedas personified in the 10th canto, 87th chapter, text 36. Sat idam uttitam, sat idam uttitam, sat iti chena nano tarkahatam. Sat idam uttitam. Uttitam means arising. So it is arises from that, from the Paramatma. Sat iti chena nana tarkahatam vyavicharati kvacha mrusha na tatha uvayak uvayuka vyavicharati kvacha means kvacha means sometimes it does manifest, sometimes it doesn't manifest. That's what it is. This two uvayak, uvay means two. Vyavarataye vikalpa ishito andha paramparaya. Andha parampara means this faulty notion that is passed on from one generation to another generation, that this mayavadis are passing on. That's andha parampara. That's a blind following on the wrong particular concept. Brahmayati bharati cha ta brahmayati bharati. Now we are going to, I'm going to forward by the or the Advaitavadis, and of course also Mimamsavadis. Uru Vritti Bhira Ukta Jadar. You know, this Jadabuddhi. Jadabuddhi means this dull intelligence. You know? That's why they're proposing this kind of notion which is completely refuted by the Shastra. So here is a translation. If it is argued that this universe is real because, now see very important point here, Mayavadis say that this universe is nothing but an illusion perception. Just like you see in the oyster shell, this silver lining that you see, that also is not a real silver, it's just a perception. So same way they are saying universe is also like that. So if it is argued that this universe is real because it has arisen, this is real. So that's what this Vedas Prasavan is saying, that actually it is not like that. It is not illusion perception because it is arising from one that is already real. How could unreal can arise from one that is real? That's what Vedas personified, already anticipating that argument from the Vivartavadas. That's what they are saying, that you know, that is, since it is arising from that which is already Sat, Paramatma is Sat, is real, absolute real, you know. So how could it unreal from something that is a total fallacy? That's what this Vedas personified in glorifying the Lord and saying that. Sometimes there is a deviation. So why do people think like that? Advaitavadis think like that. So that's why it's personified, is explaining that. Why? Because sometimes there is a deviation in this principle, and sometimes the effect is false even when the cause is real. Pacha, pacha, mrisha. Mrisha means something that is illusion, you know. Then something that's not real. So that's why they think like that, because of that the deviation, that principle. So effect is false even when the cause is real, but not so where the effect shares both characteristics of the world is sought for the sake of worldly transactions perpetuated through the blind succession of past conventions. See that? Because sometimes what happens, something that is not right, but if it is perpetuated, if it is repeated enough number of times over a certain time period, then people, exactly what this Vivartavada philosophy, and this is the time, in the contemporary time, when Srila Jiva Goswami was there, contemporary time period, this Vivartavada philosophy was very, very prominent. So very vehemently, Jiva Goswami actually defends that, you know. He refutes that Vivartavada philosophy. So this false view is being propagated perpetually over some time period. That's why people think that it is a reality. But in fact, it's not a reality. It's a faulty notion, faulty misinterpretation. Actually, it's a misinterpretation. So your words, so they are of course glorifying the Lord, so they are praying to the Lord, that you, my Lord, your words, these manifold powers of expression, delude, so Lord's Mayapur, they delude, Brahmayati means delude, are those whose intelligence is dulled. This Ukta Jadan, Jada means this Jada Buddhi. Jada Buddhi means this this dull intelligence. They so stubborn in their particular faulty notion that they are not willing to accept even when they are pointed out that they are wrong. That's called Jada Buddhi. Dulled by the formal structure of the Vedic sacrificial mantras. So they really follow this particular rituals of Vedas, you know, because of that. And this is Vedas personified essentially hinting that to this Mimamsavadi philosophers. You know, Mimamsavadis are the one who believe karma is the main thing. They believe in just following these particular rituals, Vedic rituals, and animal sacrifices, so that they could be elevated. They could earn pious credits, and they would be elevated to heavenly planets, so they can continually enjoy the pious credits and keep on enjoying. So they think this is eternal enjoyment. You know. So here that is refuted there. So now we'll go one by. Different aspects, how the arguments put forward by the Mayavadis and Mimamsavadis, and how this verse refutes the anticipation of these arguments. And that is what Jiva Goswami actually explains in a step by in a methodical way. Actually, you know. So first, it's refuting, because Mayavadis says that this universe is nothing but an illusory perception, just like silver on the oyster shell. You have an idea, have you ever seen the shell of the shell actually? You know? And then of course you'll see that Moti, you know, speaks. The universe has arisen, so the word Utitam means arise. So because it is arising, universe is arising from that which is already real, Sat, Paramatma, who is the supreme cause, who is the both Nimitta and Upadana cause of the Maya, you know. So how could that be unreal, you know? So the emphasis is that it is not superimposed like silver on an oyster shell. So right there, it's refuting very first argument that's put forward here, the word Utitam. Sir Jiva Goswami is putting on that actually. So the intention is not trying to establish non-distinction between cause and effect, so oneness, you know, or between God and the universe here, Paramatma and universe here. Rather, because it arises from the reality, as in, so again, Shaktiparinam Vada is giving a nice analogy of their own actually. That's what this is given. So gold and the various you know, ornaments made of the gold actually, you know, like earrings. So earrings are nothing but the transformation of gold. But when the earrings and all the ornaments will melt, this will imply non-difference. Shridhar Swami further explains that, is commenting. So to answer the doubt, how can the imperishable Supreme Brahman, in fact that was one of the quiz question I gave you that, how can the imperishable Supreme Brahman have a perishable form? So that's what now Shridhar Swami is explaining that. Different from itself. Itself, see, it put I is capital here. Itself means that the Brahman or Paramatma. So Paramatma is of course imperishable, right? So how the universe could be arising from that which is imperishable, which is perishable? Just as the burning capacity, so here again another analogy. Please remember this is such powerful analogies. So when you have this fire, the burning capacity of fire. Fire, of course, burns anything that comes in its vicinity, right? Anything which is flammable that will be burned immediately by fire is distinguishing quality, which then spreads all around, not limited to its source. Similarly, this whole universe is the explanation of the potency of Brahman. So, Srila Jiva Goswami now summarizes the basic points here in support of these Shruti's prayers, the Vedas personified. So, universe is not a mere appearance, the birth, a perceptional appearance, you know, like a snake misperceived in a rope. This is the very favorite analogy Vivartavadis, they like to propose, that this in a semi-darkness, we discussed many, many times this particular analogy, in semi-darkness, the rope dangling on the branch of a tree, in a semi-darkness, you'd seem like it's a snake dangling. Immediately, one becomes very, very fearful and then would like to simply run away from that place. So that they put forward that it is the snake, vibhata, or is it a perception, illusory perception of the rope? So here, so this particular Vedas, Prasadva is saying, no, it is not like that. This universe is not at all an illusion perception, like a snake is perceived as a rope or a silver in the oyster shell. Rather, the universe is real because it has come from a real source or a cause. Paramatma is real. And even during dissolution, during when it is unmanifest state, part is unfolded within the Paramatma. Paramatma is real. So even in unmanifest form, because it is a part of Paramatma, so it must be real. Third point, the universe has different qualities from those in its source, you know, Brahman or Paramatma. It is not a parinam of Brahman itself, but of the potency of Brahman. See that? Very important point here. You know, in the beginning I told you that Vivartavadis say that the cause, when transformed into effect, the cause also must be transformed. Pratiparinamvadis says, no, Paramatma is, the cause is not at all transformed. It is the Paramatma's illusory potency. That is the one which is modified, you know. So that's why it is, it says here, it's the Shakti. That's why it's Shakti, the philosophy. So universe has different qualities from its source. Satkaryavada, the cause, the effect may not be different from the cause. However, the cause does not have to be exactly the same as its effect. So the effect is actually present within the cause in a subtle form. And there Shruti says that. An object cannot be unreal just because it is perceived differently from its source. Again, Satkaryavada. Rather, it is determined as unreal if it is incapable of being put to practical use. It is determined as unreal if it is incapable of being put to practical use. So, another objection. So, what Mayavadi is saying is seen in counterfeit coins also. Again, they are putting another analogy. Stamps in a business dealings, business transactions, sometimes fake bills, fake notes or coins, sometimes gets into circulation, just temporarily though, but it does happen that. So here is the response of the Shaktiparinamvada expression by the Jiva Goswami. It's only for the sake of unethical worldly transaction. Those who are, not very, kind of a very questionable character, man, they would conduct such business actually, you know. Knowing that it's of money, they'll put it in circulation, you know. Temporarily get benefit out of. Only when it's unethical worldly transaction. That's why this Vedas and the third line, the Vyavahar means business, you know, daily transaction, daily dealings. So that's called Vyavahara. And it uses as an adverb here. Piyavarate is such a false definition is so, but not for their well-known rightful usages. You cannot get piety, so what is the use of that? See, that's a very nice, powerful expression is given there. When you earn something that is not honest, knowingly you do in a dishonest way of earning something, and then you donate that money in the temple or give charity, you do not get. It's a very important point here. This that businessmen earn thousands and thousands of rupees, and they give huge donations, millions of rupees. They give huge, right? But that donation doesn't carry value. Even for charity, you earn the pious credits of something that you donated after your own money. Even if you give donation, that doesn't work. So this is pointing out very, very nice point here, actually. Please remember here. Dishonestly earn money, you cannot even use it for charity. Therefore, the reality of the universe is because of its multifaceted, well-known proper utility in producing successful activities. So they are refuting that argument by the Mayavadis that sometimes the fake money that is used, even the temporarily, but it has certain temporary utility, what they are pointing out. So here, that notion is being refuted. So then they might make counter projection. Then also, the Vedas personified anticipates that. So what is the counter argument that Vimartavadis might present? But there is a partial utility, isn't it? Or functional effectivity. Even in imagined objects, when one takes a rope for a snake or a plastic snake, he becomes fearful. So that's what they're pointing out. Even though snake is an illusory perception, but the onlooker, the beholder, who perceives the rope as a snake, he would get the feeling, reaction, this panicky, as if the snake is real. And they will really run away out of the fear, great fear. So that's what your ones are pointing out, that then it must have its utility, When one mistakes a rope and run away immediately from that place. So that's what they're counter-arguing that. So how that is being refuted also. So with the defense, this verse is saying that such an occurrence is not real fundamental functionality either. Why? Even if one becomes fearful on mistaking the rope for a snake, the misconceived snake will not bite him. See that? So the fear is psychological fear. That it's just a misperception. It's not going to bite you, So when that realization dawns on the person, then he'll not run away, So once a person realizes a snake is in fact just a rope, the fear vanishes. Even though the illusion might continue. Sukham Bhadraja Kuladeva, Bhadraja. So when a person realizes that snake is in fact a rope, the fear vanishes. Even though the illusion might be. Straight away, when a merchant realizes the counterfeit money, coins, he will also not accept them. See, that's what happens actually. Remember that recently in India, thousand rupee or 500 rupee, 1,000 rupee and 2,000 rupee bills and notes became illegal, by the government, and initially people were trying to, still pass on, thinking that the person would not know about it, but it might have worked temporarily. As soon as because one realizes that, one realizes immediately they turn around, then they'll, because at that time I was in India actually visiting, you know, everywhere there was a big sign there that we will not accept the old 1,000 rupees note or 2,000 rupee note. I think 2,000 was that, it's 1,000 rupee note, I think. So this is what happens, you know, fake money may temporarily might be in the circulation, but as soon as one realizes, he will stop accepting that. But most important argument here, that it cannot have its utility even giving charities, because you will not earn prize credits but dishonestly earn earnings. Okay. So now Mimamsavada objection. Remember Mimamsavada again? Mimamsavadis are the one who believe in this Karmakanda principles, you know? That you do these Vedic sacrifices, animal sacrifices and all these things, and you earn pious credits. So while you are in material, you enjoy the pious credits, and then even after this life, you get promoted to the heavenly planets, and then you will earn even more, you will enjoy even more, you know. And this enjoyment, this karmic results, they think it is eternal. So there is an eternal enjoyment, because heaven is eternal, they say that, you know. But that's a faulty notion. That's what now is the Vedas person is pointing out. So they do not subscribe to the notion that the universe undergoes cycles of creation and destruction. They don't believe that. They think that this material universe is permanent, you know, eternal. Nor it will ever be destroyed. It is their belief based on Vedic injunctions that karma can lead to eternal residence in heaven. Now this is what, because we know that even heavenly planets also get destroyed during dissolution. So there is no eternality there. Just in the practical, it's so long, it seemed like eternal based on earthly time, when you compare to earthly times, but it's not reality. So Jiva Goswami is pointing out its fallacy because of their misinterpretation of the Vedic injunctions. Knowledge of real objects is the basis of all things. Anything that is unreal cannot have practical utility. The water in mirage cannot quench anyone's thirst. Just you know, for the accomplishment of worldly dealings, one requires. So that's the word. These words are there in that verse. You know, the Vedas personified saying Ishito. Ishito means that is required. A real object, vikalpa. In the analogy of rope being mistaken as a snake, the snake is a real living being. So you, and I think we discussed last time also, when people think about as a snake, the snake is real because it exists as not here, somewhere else. So during their lifetime, they must have seen a snake, then only they'll combine that. It's just like a dream state. In a dream state, you mix two different things the same way, although in reality it cannot exist. So it's like a dream state. So that person must have some, you know, exposure to snake somewhere, you know, in the past. But a child who has never seen a snake would not be afraid. They would not have that kind of perception of rope being as a snake. So, all these arguments, counter arguments, and how this particular verse refutes that, as explained by Shri Jiva Goswami, what I've done, I put it in a tabular form. So, this is a summary of Jiva Goswami's explanation of how personified Vedas, Shruti, defend Shakti Parinam Vada philosophy, and this Mimamsavada philosophies. So, here it is. So you're hearing this thing once again. In a summary form. So just to bring these points home. So here it is. So Shakti Pranam Vada principle, Siddhanta. The universe is a changing reality. It's a real, but it is changing. Unlike its source, Paramatma, or Brahman. The effect is subtly present in its cause. The reality, a sub of the universe in the subtle form it's cause, Matma. So it is here. Even remember that argument was forward, that fundamentally this cannot be real because it is not present. Because if something is real, it must be present, past, present, and future. So here, Sukti Parinamvada is saying that even in the past, asita, remember the word used, asita, that even in the past, when it's during dissolution period, that universe, even though it was unmanifest, nonetheless, it did exist. It does exist during dissolution in an unfolded way, in a subtle, dormant form, in a subtle form within Paramatma. And Paramatma is real, so in that sense, the universe is also real, even in that state, even in the unmanifest state. So, argument here, if changing, unchanging reality, Sat is the cause for this universe, universal manifestation, then its effect, the universe, should also have the characteristics of mother. That's what their main argument is, saying that. But Satkaryavada says that it cannot be. The effect is not different from cause, but the cause does not have to be exactly the same as its effect. So a superimposition on the Brahman, like silver on an oyster shell, that's the analogy they are putting forward. And what they're saying is like a hetu avhasa. Avhasa means something like a resemblance like that for its cause. Or faulty reasoning, that's what they're saying there. Because of this fallacy, the universe must be asat. They're arguing, counter-arguing that. Just as the appearance of silver in the oyster shell, so that is being refuted by this Veda's Sankhya. An effect may not have all the qualities of its cause. Like light does not burn even though from fire. See, fire gives smoke and light, right? Fire can burn, but its effect, the light, illumination, cannot burn. So the verse says, Utitam. It has arisen from that which is real, so universe must be also real. How can unreal can originate from real? It is not that the silver arises from the shell, merely it is the nature of mental impression. Pacha Mrsha, you know. Sometimes it has, sometimes it's an illusion, sometimes it's not, you know. Sometimes it manifests, sometimes not. Mrsha means that which is illusory presence. Or sometimes the effect is false, or share both characteristics, ubhaya, yukam. Therefore, an object cannot be unreal based on its perception alone. Very powerfully it refutes that. Second point, Shakti Parinamvada principle. Illusory objects have no utility, just like fake coins have no utility. We already discussed, but this is, we are summarizing this now. So what is the argument here? But there is a practical utility, what they are saying that. Yes, it has no utility, but it is practical, temporarily it does have an effect. Some businessmen do make money out of it, you know. They buy real things out of that, you know. And counterfeit coins. It's because the universe can be the basis of empirical dealings. Does not require it to be real. That's what they are saying. Just like counterfeit coins, counterfeit bills. Just because the universe can be the basis of empirical dealing, does not require it real. Again, they are trying to defend the universe. This is just a Maya, you know. How about partial or functional utility? Perception of a rope, a snake, does cause panic, fear, and then a person would run away. That's their argument. So defense here. Only for the sake of unethical businessmen, business transactions, vyavaharate, is such a false viewpoint accepted? Vikalpa. Fake bills may be instrumental buying and selling things, but in reality they have no utility, because as soon as that person realizes that this is a fake, then they will stop, you know. no utility. Example, donating fake bills does not constitute pious acts of such a charity. A counterfeit medicine does not work, does not cure ailments or diseases and so on like that, you know. So counterfeit medicine people, you know, many times it does happen actually, you know. But in third world countries, so is sick, eventually going to realize that this does not work. It's not going to buy that fake medicine. So faulty perception of a rope is a snake, that also will not bite. As soon as one realizes that, then fear will go away. Third point, the universe is not imperishable, according to Shakti Pranavada. So Mimakshavadis, who accept the universe as imperishable, argue on the ground of Vedic injunction that drinking soma juice makes one immortal. Thus, in establishing that the fruits of the karma is eternal, so it is not possible that the universe is imperishable. Again, they are interpreting Vedas in a cherry picking. Something that agrees to their notion, they will accept. Something that does not, they will not accept. Partial, you know. So that's the reason why Brahmayati, that means delusion, through manifold powers of expression, that's Uru Bhuti Bhira. This notion, faulty notion, has been propagated, perpetuated over a long period of time, that people think that that is the truth, that's the reality. But that's not, you know. It's just because of that. Jada Buddhi, Ukta Jadan, that means when it's dulled, intelligence is dulled by the literal acceptance of the Vedic injunctions. So they accept the surface meaning of that. And that is a problem. The Vedic verses, sometimes they are deliberately ambiguous way for a purpose actually, you know. So sometimes these people take meaning knowing that it's not, then still they accept that, you know, because that supports their notion. The real mission is called Arthavada actually, you know. So real utility is like this. So that's what Jiva Goswami is pointing out. Is Vedanta long actually. There are 10 subsections are there, 70.1, 70.2, 70.3, 70.10, like that. You know? That's why it's really very, very detailed information is there. I basically summarize major points in that. So now take 16, take 71 through 73, about the manifest and unmanifest states of the universe. So Jiva Goswami continues to explain that the universe is existent during the period of dissolution. Just like I told you that. Because it is part of the Paramatma cause. In fact, is there in the dormant form within the cause. Because during dissolution within Paramatma, and Paramatma being real, so universe must be real. That's what the point is here. So universe in its subtle remains unmanifested. Even though it appears to be in the same class as illusions. Silver, because of being observable like it has a different type of existence. It may seem like it's real, but it's not. Because Paramatma is real. That's the point. Because it is not devoid of transformation like the Atma. Its existence is not single and unchanging. So this is actually now here. The next verse, verse 37, chapter 87, chapter 10, is cited here. It says that na yad idam agra as na bhavishyat ato nidanat. This is the verse I discussed when I was in India. Yad na yad idam agra as na bhavishyat ato nidanat anumitam antaratvayi vibhati mushe ekarasa ata upamiyate dravena chatvikalpa pathe vitatha mano vilasa amrut vilasa vilasam ritam iti avayanti abhudha. So here the translation. If this world did not exist before, then it would not have come into existence at all. Therefore the inference is falsely drawn from the world's dissolution that it is a mere appearance in you. Again, Vedas Prasanna is pointing out that it's not illusory perception in this universe. Who are one taste ekarasa, and that it is present to awareness only in the interim period between creation and dissolution. Therefore we come compare it to the various types of phenomenal objects derived from their elemental source materials. Only those who have not yet awakened discrimination, as Abhudha means those who are less intelligent, believe that false play of the mind is the reality. So this false notion, before it was explained that because of Jada Buddhi, Utta Jada, here it is saying Abhudha, that means they are less intelligent people. They are those who believe that actually. So again, the principle of Satkaryavad teaching. During the period of dissolution, universe was within Paramatma in an unmanifest state. Again, we are hearing repeatedly this point here. He's trying to explain why universe is Sat real, even though on the surface it says that anything that is technically right, it must be present, past, present and future. So to answer that objection, he said that yes, even in the past, asit, even in the past when during the period of this universe is considered real because it is a part of Paramatma. Paramatma is real, the cause is real. So and the effect universe is in a subtle form, dormant form, within Paramatma. Everything exists all the time, either an unmanifest or manifest. So basically, it's over in the argument of existence of the universe. So by saying Mrsha, Pachya Mrsha, remember appears, but it is not a reality. That's what they say. Just like this silver, there's no real silver there, but it gives an appearance of silver on the oyster shell. That's what they're saying. So that is refuted here. No, it's not like that. The potency of Paramatma undergoes modification by his inconceivable will without corresponding alteration of his own intrinsic nature. We just discussed last week class, Ichha, first Jnana, Ichha, and then the Kriya, you know. So Paramatma has that will, Ichha, you know, for the cosmic musician, and that is why he manifests that. Then Kriya means he actually executes that. So the potency of Paramatma undergoes modification by his inconceivable will without corresponding alteration of his own intrinsic nature. So the Paramatma's primary characteristics, Swarup Lakshana, is not changed. What is changed is his external potency, Maya, you know, primordial material nature, Pradhana, that undergoes modification. That's why Shakti Parinam Vada. So he manifests the previous one that was unmanifest. So previously, which was in an unmanifest form, a dormant form within him, now he manifests that universe actually. So radical Advaita Vadis, they are saying that the mind is a product of the gross elements. In their combined state, Dhanamatras, the sense objects, are generated, which are also made of the three modes. So the five elements predominate by sattva, the five cognitive senses, and that is the Jnanendriyas, the knowledge-gathering senses, namely ears, skin, eyes, tongue and nose, respectively. But from the elements beginning with space, they are mixed with a portion of sattva, generate mind, intellect, ego and chitta. Again, this is how the cosmic manifestation come to existence. From the false ego being expressed in the mode of sattva guna, raja guna, tamo guna, when it's expressed in tamo guna, then this in this five panchabhama mahabhutas form, and then in raja guna, then this senses are all sense form, ten senses, and the mind is formed when it's in sattva guna, but nonetheless in material mode of goodness. However, at the same time, they claim that the universe consists of the five gross elements. Its product, such as, is a construct of the mind. So that's what they are saying, that the soul is mental perception. So this is clearly illogical, Shachikosa is pointing out, and ridiculous. The mind is a product of the material elements, yet out of ignorance the mind constructs the universe from which itself is produced. Shachikosa so shows that their position is not accepted by the scriptures. So even though Vivartavadis gave what Shrutis, but they are misinterpreting that, what that Chivakasu is pointing out that. Scriptures do not support the universe being imaginary, but as a real effect of Paramatma's real potency, Maya. So Mayavada was propagated, so why Mayavadis are saying that? Remember, the Mayavadi philosophy was propagated by Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya is considered an incarnation of Lord Shiva. So again points out the fact why Lord Shiva did that. So here that verse, actually we have seen this verse before also. It's reproduced here again in this section. The Mayavadi was propagated, Mayavadi philosophy was propagated to bewilder the demons, as Shiva himself declares that fact to his consort Mother Parvati. And this is that verse. Mayavadam asach. Asach means this faulty notion. Shastram prachannam bodham uchyate. So it's a disguised Buddhism, basically. Because Lord Buddha did not, he rejected the Vedic authority, Vedas. He does not even believe his soul results. So maya eva kathitam devi kalau brahmana rupina. Brahman Rupita means, that's why I took this incarnation as this Shankaracharya. Vedante tu Mahashastre Mayavadam वैदिकं मये वक्ष्ये देवी जगतां नाशकारणात् मायावाद इज अ फॉल्स स्ट्रक्चर इट इज कॉल्ड डिस्गाइज्ड बुद्धिज्म बुद्धिज्म इज शून्यवादी ओ देवी आई शैल टेक द फॉर्म ऑफ अ ब्राह्मण द शंकराचार्य एंड टीच दिस स्क्रिप्चर इन कली युग दिस फॉल्टी नोशन मायावादी फिलॉसफी आई शैल एक्सपैंड द नॉन वैदिक मायावाद विद इन द ग्रेट लिटरेचर ऑफ वेदांत for the purpose of destroying this universe. And this is the verse from Padma Purana. So, and why did Lord Shiva did that? So again, that was by the direct order of the Lord, Supreme Lord himself. That is given in the next verse. Next page. So Shiva did this on the order of the Lord directly to bewilder the demons. Vapar adav yuge bhutva kalaya manusha adishu स्वागमैहि कल्पित कल्पिते एस्त्वं तु जनान मद विमुखान कुरु सो टेक बर्थ बाय योर सो लॉर्ड इज ऑर्डरिंग लॉर्ड शिवा माय डियर शिवा यू टेक बर्थ एज यू पार्शल पूर्ण से इन द वर्ल्ड ऑफ ह्यूमन काइंड सो यू अपीयर एज ए ह्यूमन दिस कली युग कली एट द बिगिनिंग ऑफ कली युग and return people against me, against the Lord, by composing a concocted teachings. This verse is from Padma Purana. So the universe is not destroyed, even in authentical laya, or ultimate dissolution, text 22 actually. So Mayavadi doctrine, the universe is a superimposition on Brahma, out of ignorance avidya puts it before. When Brahman realized avidya dispel, so that's what they're saying that when they study Vedanta and then they follow austerities and penance, then this avidya puts is removed, the influence of avidya is removed, and then the universe should go also come to the end. So all this illusory perception of universe is also will go away. Saying, mistaken as a snake in semi-darkness, the substratum or is a foundation onto which the snake, the product of avidya, is superimposed. When light is shined on the apparent snake, the bewildered person should see nothing but the robe. So that's what they are saying there. So, universe is not destroyed in authentic level. What is that? This is the there are four kinds of dissolution are there. It's the final dissolution when the living entity becomes Krishna conscious. So there is no more necessity for him to remain in his material existence. Then he go back to spiritual world. So that is the final liberation, final dissolution of his existence in material world. So even then, the material world will remain here. Material world does not disappear. It'll appear and disappear. Of course, but it existence is there. That's what it means. So similarly, upon Brahman realization, avidya is dispelled along with the disappearance of the universe. Why? Because the universe is not the imagination of any jiva, but the real creation of Paramatma, and is thus not brought to an end by any jiva's enlightenment. Unlike what Mayavadi says, that when this avidya, influence of avidya is removed by study of Vedanta, and following austerities and penance, then this person becomes enlightened. Then you will think that this, then you will not worry, you will not have that faulty notion of this this universe. But that is not possible, they are saying. Because universe is not the imagination of any jiva. But the real creation of Paramatma, not brought to an end by any jiva's enlightenment. Just because you become enlightened, material world is not going to disappear, it is going to remain there. So there are four kinds of dissolution describing the Puranas and Vedanta, that even Mayavadis accept this nitya, constant, this constant dissolution is taking place all the time. The self's daily dissolution from gross and subtle forms occurring in deep sleep. In a deep sleep that happens. Because it's disconnected from the world, you know, at that time. Prakrita, or total dissolution occurs when the whole cosmos is dissolved. The Daimitika, occasional, occurs at the end of the Brahma's each day. When the lower planets up to the Swargaloka, heavenly planets are destroyed. Then the final dissolution, ultimate, that is when the person becomes liberated to Brahman realization. Or by becoming free from Nitya, the very root cause of the universe. For the devotee, when the conscious, there is no need for him to tell existence. Okay. So this is another verse in Jiva. Gate binne gata akash, akasha shyat yatha pura, evam dehe prati, evam ehem deve mrtye jivo, brahma sampadyate punaha. This is Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. When a clay pot is broken, the space that was enclosed within the pot becomes simply open space. See that when you have a different earthly parts, and if you in a water filled with that, if you look at that pot filled with water, you will see the reflection of the sky in all this plant. But when the clay pot is broken, it will dissipate the sky. Of course, you see it like that before you. Open space. Just as was prior to delimiting. In the same way, when the body perishes, the jiva again becomes Brahman. So Mayavadis often cite this verse to support their notion of oneness of the jiva and Brahman. In reality, this is an example how they misinterpret a particular verse, write this particular verse. Took a literary interpretation of this verse, you know. But actually, what the real purport of this verse is this: it does not support, the jiva does not become, but attains sampadita Brahman. You know, so jiva does not become one with Brahman. What Mayavadi says, but actually, it attains Brahman. But it becomes, the jiva becomes enlightened by that knowledge, you know, by that Brahman realization. Well, Shuka said in the verse, same chapter, that in realizing his true identity, Parishit would not perceive his body or the universe as different from Paramatma because both are rooted in him. So this is at the time, toward the last canto of Shrimad Bhagavatam. So Parishit Maharaj already heard the entire Shrimad Bhagavatam by that time. So now Sudeva Goswami is reassuring. That don't be afraid of the death. Don't be afraid when this takshaka snake is going to bite you, come and bite you. You will not feel the pain of this thing at all. Because you are only going to be absorbed deeply in trance with the Supreme Lord, actually. That's what Sudeva Goswami is saying. That. So you will be already engrossed in Brahman or Paramatma realization, the one realization. So then it's true identity. Parishit would not perceive his body, the universe, as different from Paramatma, because both are rooted in him. And that's actually what happened actually. When the Takshaka snake bit Parishit Maharaj, Parishit Maharaj was already in the trance, he left his body actually. You know? In fact, his soul was already gone actually by that time. So that is not what Mayavadi is saying, that you want to become one with Brahman. No, you become Brahman, realize, Paramatma realize, Bhagavan realize, that is quite different from one become merging with Brahman. So Jiva Goswami argues that if the world were an imaginary product of the Jiva's ignorance, as Vivartavadi is, then it could not be non-different from Brahman. Because in such a case, the universe would neither be in Brahman, nor illuminated by Brahman, nor could it be a modification of Brahman's
purpose.
That's what is So universe is different. So that's the 73. Universe is, so I'm putting it in capital letters. Universe is not different from Paramatma, and yet Paramatma is distinct from it. So again, the effect is not different from cause, but cause does not necessarily have to be same as effect. This is Satkaryavada. So the flame, the eye, the form are not distinct from the gross element fire. Similarly, the intellect, the senses and the objects are not distinct from the reality Paramatma, which is yet completely different from them. We had very clearly the distinction between Vigatvada philosophy and Shakti Parinamvada philosophy. What is the fundamental difference that you should remember that? And also, you should remember the Sat and Asat aspect of it. So that is the argument put forward by this Vigatvadis actually. You know. So, what Shakti Parinamvada says that the material universe is always real. Even though it is temporary, nonetheless it is real. It's manifest and unmanifest. So it's existence-wise. Because even during dissolution, it is because it is within the as a dormant form within Paramatma, during dissolution, it still exists in an unmanifest form. So, and because Paramatma is real, how can the universe could be unreal? That's what the way it's explained. Then how systematically it refutes the arguments and counter-arguments of Vivartavada and this Mimamsavada philosophies. Again, we have to say all this argument based on that. And what is the real purport of the Shastra? That also we learn here. So with that, I'll stop here and see if there are any questions, comments. Hare Krishna. It is Brahman. When some, that is the Vivartavada philosophy. Jiva becomes a Brahman. That was the last point that I think. Kita 12, chapter 5, verse 5. Said Jiva becomes Brahman. Like Brahman realized that, that sense. It is Brahman. Then when some of the Jivas go to the hell, how the soul also suffers in the absence of the material body. Okay. First of all, when someone is Brahman, realize someone is Paramatma, Brahman realize. Hell is planned or anything. Because he becomes free from material existence altogether. He goes to spiritual world. Now, speaking about those who continue, those who still have this material desire, who do not become completely Krishna conscious, come and they have to suffer this, sinful reactions, then go to hellish plant that's described in the fifth canto, is actually the subtle body that sees the subtle body experiences them. Because gross body is already dropped in the subtle body, the mind, mental perceptions. Now the soul also suffers in the absence of the material body. It's the subtle body he has that, not the gross body. So it's the mind, it's when the subtle body composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego that carries in the next body. So while before he accepts the new body, next body, he has to go through this sufferings and all these things in hellish planets. So that is his subtle body, he experiences all that. Explained in the fifth canto. Koku Prabhu. Very good, Prabhu, thank you. Can you elaborate, Prabhu, that Mayavadism was created by Lord Shiva on the order of the Lord to allow the dissolution of the universe. Atyantika is one of the types of dissolution as opposed to one of the steps in the original thing. Yes, Prabhuji. The only point that Jiva Goswami is pointing out that verse, citing that verse, Lord Shiva explained to Mata Parvati why he appeared as Shukracharya, not as Shankaracharya, and proposed as a proponent of the Mayavadi philosophy. Yeah, that's what the reason is there. So only in that context the verse was given actually. And that was because he did it by the order of Supreme Lord Himself. So that was the only purpose He has given that. So it's not to help, as you're saying, that on the order of the Lord to help in solution of the universe. Not in that context. Because Lord Shiva, because as a Guna Avatara, he participates in the dissolution of the universe, but this verse was not in that context. It was just in the context why this Mayavadi philosophy was there, proposed by Shankaracharya. And that was, Shankaracharya is none other than incarnation, partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was directly ordered that by the Supreme Lord so as to bewilder the demoniac elements. Now the second point about Atyantika dissolution that you talked about, can you explain why Atyantika is one of the types of dissolution as opposed to one of the steps in liberation of living entity? Yes, it is that, because and who goes into spiritual world, for him his material existence dissolved. So in that regard, the dissolution of the universe for that jiva is explained because of that, for that reason only. So that's an ultimate dissolution for the living entity. When jiva, it's liberated its soul. In that regard, it is mentioned that. So it is a liberation for him, liberation of material existence. So that's the dissolution of the material existence for him. But that does not mean the material world is going to dissolve at the end. Material world is to remain. Even when we leave from here, material world is not going to disappear. Of course, it is cyclically appear and disappear, but that it is going to continue that. We discussed it a few months earlier also, that point came about that. Sharat Prabhu. Now I understand that Brahman realization comes after dissolution of the laws and seven words. Exactly. So when we are qualified to go in spiritual, drop also subtle body. And in spiritual world, there is no necessity for having super soul with us. So subtle bodies drop, that means monobuddhi ahankar, all the material desires. So there is no more necessity for transmigration for that soul. Alright? Thank you, Sharat. Thank you, Gopinath Prabhu. Gopi Prabhu. Any more questions or comments? Oh, very good. There's a very good attendance today. 17 of you are attending. And I want to thank each of you. I'm very, very delighted by that. Sadhguru, Mataji, Anish Prabhu, Sanatha Mataji. Now, one who becomes Brahman, merge with Brahman according to Mayavadi philosophies, they may have to come back, but not one who is realized Brahman. Well, Brahman realized means, you know, Paramatma realized and Bhagavan realized ultimately. For devotees, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, after giving up this body, once you come back to Vaikuntha, you never come back. So, but one who goes to Vaikuntha never falls down. Sharato, no one can fall down except with the plan of the Lord has happened for Jayan Vijay. And Jayan Vijay case is actually, it's not a real fall down. It's an accidental fall down in the sense it was Lord's own plan. And they participated in Lord's pastimes, just like an actor plays the role of a villain by the director's situation. So Jayan Vijay are actually the return after that as Lord's personal associates in the Vaikuntha. Sanjeev Prabhu, in some cases we hear the devotees, example Pandavas, going to spiritual world with some body, same body. Well, again, that's we discussed this point also sometime back. Actually, it's a spiritualized body. You know, that's not under the influence of three modes of material nature. So ultimately, they will get a spiritual body. So when we say material body means under the influence of the three modes of material nature. That's material body. So there, when you go to switch, you drop that thing. Now, yes, Arjuna did visit heavenly planets, the same material body. The heavenly planets are part of the material universe. Okay, no more questions. Thank you very much, all of you. I am very, very grateful to all of you. It's so nice, wonderful, wonderful. I feel very, very elated. So, if no more questions.